ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
May I have a 10th canto, 14th chapter, please? There are many things in this world. In fact, they're all over the place. Everywhere you look, there's things. But if you add them all up, they don't equal the value of your own self. Because all the things in the world, the objects that we see, both gross matter and subtle matter, the ideas that come into our mind and so forth, are of an inferior nature to our very self. We are made of the same quality and substance as the supreme divine source of everything, Krishna. Mamayvamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manak shashtan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that all the living entities are my fragmental parts eternally. And they're struggling with the six senses and the mind in this material world, grappling hard. And so the progressive person is one who settles upon a worthy goal in life. Without a worthy goal, it's very difficult to ascertain what is one's duty and what things to keep and what things to throw away, where to concentrate one's energy, and which battles not to fight. And so in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving us a very detailed understanding of the value of our own self. In fact, in his teachings to Arjuna, he begins by telling him that the soul is something so valuable that it is, and it is studied by all the great thinkers and understood to be that thing which is permanent. And all the other things in this world are fleeting and impermanent, and therefore they're not very important. He tells Arjuna that the soul, when mixed into matter, must tolerate the changes of the outside world and see that whatever happiness or distress comes our way is simply temporary. And just like the winter and summer seasons come and go, similarly, the different situations in our life will come and go. Whether it seems to be happy or stable, it's not. It'll move. So he tells Arjuna, learn to be tolerant of all these changing situations. And he says, be established in the self. Therefore, one must know what one's self is and be self-situated. Otherwise, projecting out into the world my desires catch on to all the different changing things, and I'm moved about from one country to the next, from one object to the next. When I'm a baby, the object of my attention is my mother, and then toys, and then there's attraction between male and female, opposite sex. When one comes to puberty, then there's a very strong desire to get into progressive material development, to be established in a home perhaps, or to have some economic stability. One works for that. Thinking about retirement. Throughout life, there's always some goal just ahead. And it's based on the changing situations. And therefore, Krishna advises this principle that one should understand what is the self. And invest in the self. And keep one's self-realization as one's main goal in life. And in fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami, 10th canto, 14th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes how actually oneself is the most dear thing in this world. The only problem is nobody knows what the self is and misdirects one's attention. King Parikshit said to Shukadeva Goswami, "O Brahmana, how could the cowherd women have developed for Krishna, someone else's son, such unprecedented pure love? Love they never felt even for their own children. Please explain this." This is text number 49. This is in response to a story told by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit about how Brahma once tested Krishna. And thinking, how could a little cowherd boy be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And therefore, he, Brahma, stole away all Krishna's calves and friends. And then Krishna, realizing that Brahma had stolen them, remanifested all the cows and all the friends exactly as they were before, down to every hair on their head. Exact replica. Except they weren't actually the living entities they were before, but they were Krishna himself, as Krishna can expand himself unlimitedly. Ramadi murti shukala niyamena tishta nana avataram akarod bhuvaneshu kintu. Krishna can expand himself into multi-forms. So he just made his Vishnu tattva forms into these boys and calves and then went about his business as usual, bringing them home from the forest and going back to Vrindavan, where they met with their mothers. But something really weird happened, and that is that the mothers became 10 times more affectionate towards their children than they were before. And then the calves, or I should say the bulls and the cows, when they saw their calves, and they had already been weaned away from their calves, and they were up on a hill grazing, and they saw these calves. They came bounding down the hill, both legs at a time, as fast as they could go, to meet up with these calves and begin licking their bodies. And Balaram was observing all these happenings in Vrindavan, and he said, "Something weird is going on." And at first he thought there was some kind of mystic spell, maybe by some yogi or some rakshasa that was going on in Vrindavan, because a lot of really wild things happened there. But Krishna revealed to Balaram that actually these were expansions of himself, and Balaram could then see what had happened. And when Brahma came back after stealing the cows and boys, and he saw the same identical cows and boys with Krishna, he was stunned. And then Krishna revealed to him what their nature was, and he could see that each one of the calves and boys was actually a form of Krishna. And then he saw how all of those Vishnu forms were circumambulating Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how everything in the universe was circumambulating Krishna, and that he was the source of everything and everyone. And that's when Brahma began to offer his prayers. And with an astounded mind and in complete humility, he fell at the feet of Lord Krishna. And then in this 14th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very important chapter, because it reveals Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma offers his prayers to the Lord. And in this chapter, there's a description by Shukadeva Goswami of the meaning of this pastime. He says, "Oh, King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, how could the cowherd women have developed for Krishna, someone else's son, such unprecedented pure love, love they never felt, even for their own children? Please explain this." And Shukadeva Goswami replies, "O King, for every created being, the dearmost thing is certainly his own self. The dearness of everything, children, wealth, and so on, is dear only due to the dearness of the self." So this has great importance because all the things that I consider dear in this world are things that are related to myself. I don't care so much about your bank accounts unless you plan on handing them over, in which case they'll be my bank accounts and then I find them dear. But right now I don't care how much you have or don't have. I mean, I do, but I'm just saying for the sake of the example that I don't have that much concern, but I do for my own, and for my own car, my own land, and my own team, and my own flag, and my own alma mater. Everything my I becomes my when I project into the material nature my sense of self. And I say, Normally that's just a thing, but then it becomes my thing. And now I own it. And then it becomes dear to me. And I'm attached to it. And I want to keep it and so forth. So again, Shukadeva Goswami says, "O King, for every created being, the dearmost thing is certainly his own self. The dearness of everything else, children, wealth, and so on, is due only to the dearness of the self." "For this reason, O best of kings, the embodied soul is self-centered. He is more attached to his own body and self than to his so-called possessions like children, wealth, and home. Indeed, for persons who think the body is the self, O best of kings, those things whose importance lies only in their relationship to the body are never as dear as the body itself. If a person comes to the stage of considering the body mine instead of me, he will certainly not consider the body as dear as his own self. After all, even as the body is growing old and useless, one's desire to continue living remains strong. Therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being, and it is simply for the satisfaction of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. You should know Krishna to be the original soul of all living entities. For the benefit of the whole universe, he has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his internal potency." So, the couple of points. One is that things are dear to me only when they're in relationship to myself, and that by extension, Krishna is the soul of my soul. If my soul is so important, my self is so important, then what to speak of the self of myself, the origin of myself? When one becomes realigned in understanding what is my real self and what is the origin of myself, how am I being maintained, and who is my life and soul, then one's attention turns to bhakti. Otherwise, my self-interest is misdirected. There's nothing wrong with being self-interested, but when one doesn't understand clearly what is the self, then I develop a false sense of self and create an imaginary world for myself. And in the Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, asochanan vasochastvam prajnavaram shabashashe gatasun akatasumscha. Go ahead. Nanu shochiti panditaha. That a learned person, he said, you're speaking like a learned person, Arjuna, because you're giving so much concern to your family, relatives, all the social conditions and everything like that. But he said, actually, you're a fool. And this is not speaking like a learned person, because you've misdirected your sense of self into those things that are temporary and actually ultimately have nothing to do with you. So this idea, understanding that I am ultimately the part and parcel of Krishna, and that Krishna is the self of myself. He's the origin of myself. He's my maintainer and my protector, is brought out in the Vaishnava songs. For instance, if you can find Manasadeho Geho by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes the thought process, the feeling from the heart of a person who has rediscovered the soul of his soul and is dedicating everything, mind, body, words, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is a sweet surrender, because as I quoted earlier, Manakshashtanindriyani prakriti stani karshati. Krishna says, when I'm misaligned and I consider my body to be myself and everything in relationship to my body to be mine, I'm struggling hard with material nature, grappling hard. But when one realigns oneself as the eternal servant of Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Krishna dash e bishwash koletor or tukonai. If you just understand this one thing, make this one small adjustment, and you can do it at any moment, make this one adjustment. I am a servant of Krishna. I am Krishna's. I belong to Krishna. I'm a servant of Krishna. Then he says, dukonai, no more misery for you. And this word duk, misery, derives from the concept of a spoke in a wheel that is out of alignment. If your car has ever had an axle, I should say axle, not spoke, an axle that is misaligned, and therefore the rotation is not smooth. It's bumpy. It moves all over. Have you ever had that? Really? Did you call AAA? Then it's a very difficult situation, and nothing can be peaceful. Everything's bumpy. So dukkha, the idea is that we're out of alignment. I'm out of alignment. I don't understand what my real purpose is in life. I don't know what my goal is. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Krishna Dash A Bishwash, if you have faith and understanding in this one principle, that I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm Krishna's servant. Korle tor ardukonai, no more misery for you, no more dukkha, because you're properly aligned. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his songs of surrender, the Sharanagati is a song of all these songs of surrender. And this song, Manasadeho Geho, he says, my mind, body, family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. In good fortune or bad, in life or death, all my difficulties have disappeared because I have chosen those lotus feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant. If it is your will that I be born again, then may it be in the home of your devotee. Let me be born again even as a worm, as long as I may remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born as a Brahma averse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely free of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, Lord, preceptor, husband, you are everything to me. Bhaktivinoda says, O Kana, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul. My life and soul. So this feeling of giving oneself to Krishna, the sharanagati, is actual pleasure. The happiness derived from identifying myself with my material body, my temporary bodily relations, with all the things that I've acquired that could be taken away at any moment, is misery. And in 1 second, one can realign oneself by understanding this principle. Jeev Krishna Das. I am Krishna's servant. Therefore, the devotees, upon entering seriously into the practice of bhakti, accept this name, Das, or Dasi. Das or Dasi. And very happily so, consider themselves servants. In the material world, there's a sense that I want to be in the center, I want to be served. This is a tenuous situation, fraught with many difficulties. But one who considers him or herself a servant creates no friction at all, wherever he or she goes. I mean, who would you rather be around? Someone who considers him or herself a servant of the servant and has a service attitude, or someone who is intent on taking center stage and lording it over at every step? Rhetorical question, I guess. So, out of alignment, by misidentifying myself as something that I'm not, this is an identity crisis, a great identity crisis, the great identity crisis of the living entity in the material world. And Prabhupada used to describe this as similar to living in an asylum where people have lost their sense of identity due to dementia or some other debilitating mental disease. And they often consider themselves to be some other person. And I've seen it because I used to visit my father in an Alzheimer's home, and everyone there had some identity. The nurse introduced me to everybody, and everyone thought they were something that they weren't. And they were playing that role. My father, in his professional life, was a psychologist. And when he got Alzheimer's, he was a psychologist at the graduate program in San Francisco State University. And one of the big projects that he did was to oversee groups of students who took care of patients in Alzheimer's homes. So when he got into the, when he was a patient, then he thought he was directing the program. So when the nurses and things would come in, he said, "Very, very good job you're doing." So it's like kind of overseeing, but everyone had some identity. They weren't oriented properly. Their frame of reference was skewed. And this is the material condition. I come into this world without understanding who I really am. I don't know what is my real interest. And I'm acting, and I'm moving, and I'm doing things, and I'm trying, and I'm working really hard. But there's an old saying, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. So there's a way in which I've dug myself into a very deep hole in the material world due to misidentifying myself as something I'm not. So the Vedas come along, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita comes along to reinform me. Tamasimai dotirgama. Don't stay in this darkness of ignorance, but find out what your real self is. And then apply yourself. Do apply yourself, but find out who you are first. Find out what real progress is first. And to that end, Narada Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Tasyaiva hetu prayate ta kovido na labhyate yad brahmatad upariyata. Said, it's no use wandering around the material world, trying very hard for something you're never going to get. And even if you get it, you lose it. He says, in the material world, you get what you get because of your previous activities. You're owed a certain amount of happiness and distress by the laws of karma. And you're going to get it one way or the other. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took out his followers for wandering around, just after he had taken sannyas, he asked them, did you bring anything with you? They said, no, you didn't instruct us to bring anything. He said, very good. Because, he said, we only depend on Krishna. Then he said, notice how the Lord has filled up the universe with food and money, but you can only get what's due to you. You ever notice that? You get what you get. You don't get more and you don't get less. In the material world, there's a ledger and it always works out. There's justice in the material world, complete justice. And Krishna is the perfect moral agent. We're not getting any more suffering or any less than we deserve. Don't cry foul. But do ask for mercy, because mercy overrides justice. And therefore, Narada Muni says, try hard for that thing that you can't get anywhere in the material world, from the highest planet to the lowest. Try hard for that. Try really hard, because you'll get something there. And then Krishna comes along and says, Swalpam apyasiddharmasya. Even if it's a tiny try, the smallest endeavor, with the right purpose in mind, with the right goal in mind, he said, that's eternally beneficial to you. What to speak if you try really hard? If you just move one inch, Krishna says, that's good, very good. Swalpam apyasiddharmasya, trayate mahatobayat. That can save you from the most dangerous thing, which is losing your opportunity to actually get the real thing. What to speak if you fully align yourself with your purpose? And Krishna describes this in the Gita. Vyavasayatmaka buddhir ekeha kuranandana. He says there's a kind of intelligence one develops that is unshakable. Just as a person who's fixed 100% on making money will wake up at any time in the morning or night to answer the phone. I've seen it before. And Prabhupada talked about how he saw merchants that he worked with selling cloth, quoting prices all day long. Those vaishyas, they're intense, aren't they? They have some mystic potency. We've seen in Vrindavan, they have these potencies. They're all day long, Lohi Bazaar, selling cloth. And they have, because they're meditating so intensely on selling more cloth, when you walk in, you just want one gumsha. One little gumsha, that's all I ask. And then after you're buying the gumsha, he says, you want dhoti? I was like, yeah, I want a dhoti. In fact, give me 20 dhotis. Sorry, you want sari? And then, you know, your mind goes crazy and wants to buy everything. This is the potency. But a person who is becoming sober, dhira, in spiritual life, develops intelligence, vyavasayatmika buddhir, very pointed attention, that my goal in life, just as I was going to say, in the marketplace, Prabhupada has mentioned that he saw these vaishyas that were so intent on selling cloth, they're quoting prices all day, then they'd take a nap, they're sleeping, and in their sleep they're quoting prices. Absorbed and fixed on one thing. I'm not speaking against commerce. I'm not speaking against working in your job to the best of your ability in an excellent way. Because Krishna doesn't speak against it also in the Bhagavad Gita. He's not saying walk away. But he says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu maranusmara yudyacha mayarpita mano bhudir mami vaishyatya samshayaha. Thank you. That while you do everything Don't lose your goal. Don't lose your purpose and perspective. Do everything excellently. But don't give your whole heart to it. Do it officially. What you have to do, just to maintain. But keep your heart invested in the ultimate goal of life. And also, never forget Krishna. Organize your life in such a way that as you're doing your work that you're obliged to do, because you can't just walk away from it. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, leave the battlefield, become a mendicant. He said, do your duty, go and fight. But remember, and at the same time, don't forget the goal of this whole thing and why you're doing it. Align your purpose. Align yourself in your purpose. And then you will attain perfection and happiness. So, the soul of our soul is Krishna. And the process of yoga means to reconnect with Krishna. And when we do, as Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion, when you see the sun in the morning, it also means seeing yourself. Because when the sun rises, then you can see everything in its proper perspective. So one should stay constantly in contact with Krishna, especially in a couple of ways. One way is through chanting the names of God. Another is through hearing about him, especially through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If you just employ these two things in your life, hearing from the topmost authorized scriptures on bhakti, and investing yourself in a discipline to chant the names of God on a regular basis, you actually have to use your muscles. The muscles of your tongue and your vocal cords and so forth. Hare Krishna, Hare, feel it out. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Try feeling your vocal cords and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Vocal cords, it's interesting. It's like a musical instrument, really. And you can vibrate it any way you want. You can hear from CNN and then you can repeat what you heard and cause misery to everyone in your life and yourself from repeating. That's called Gramya Kata. That's called the gossip. Now gossip is just expanded to worldwide. That's all it is. It's worldwide gossip. Worldwide Gramya Kata. Everyone says, it's world news. I got to catch up. No, you don't. There's nothing you can do about it. Something you can do about yourself, though. So use what you've been given and the muscles, the endeavor. There's a impetus that you have. Use it. Use it to repeat the names of God. Boy, how could there be any harm in that? Repeat the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There can't be anything wrong in that. Whereas everything else we do in this material world, it's fraught with some kind of difficulty. And Krishna says every endeavor is covered with some sort of fault in this material world. It's a bad bargain. So make the best use of it. Make the best use of a bad bargain. And by repeating the names of God, then one can gradually realize him by serving him with the tongue. You can remember that when you chant Hare Krishna. You're serving Krishna with your tongue. He asked for that service. And the Shastra says, Atashri Krishna Nama Adina Bhaved Grayam Indriye Sevan Mukhi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. That you can see God personally. And the way it begins is by serving him with your tongue. Jihwa Adao. That's what the Shastra says. Jihwa Adao. Begin with your tongue. And the most recommended thing you can do with your tongue activity is to repeat the names of God. It's actually the most pleasurable and self-aligning activity that you can do on a regular basis. And then hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a good idea to count how much you hear from Srimad Bhagavatam and how much you chant also. Those who are very progressive on the path of bhakti, they're counting very carefully. That means they're making progress. If you say, I don't need counter beads, I don't need to count, I'm always chanting Hare Krishna, that means that you're not serious, you're not moving ahead. Count, even if you do a little bit, but count it. Then it becomes serious that I'm doing this every day as my devotion. It's all I can offer right now. Okay. Swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. Even a little advancement. And that desire to increase will then come into one's heart. And Krishna sends mercy. And that mercy allows us to increase our service. And when we're doing full service, then the Bhagavatam says, Savai pum samparo dharmo yato bhakti rahuk saje. Ahaitukya pratiyata yayatma supracidati. When that service reaches the level that it's unmotivated, when you're only doing service for service, you don't want anything, you just want more service. And it's uninterrupted. Nothing else gets in its way. Then you have a perfect life. Can one attain a perfect life? Yes. One can attain a perfect life. It's altogether possible. And the perfection is given and explained in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And the intelligence and the mind have to go along with you. When we talk about the self, and that's the topic of today's class, is yourself is your most important asset. It's the most important thing. The most important thing you have is you. Self is described as Atma. Atma is described as body, mind, and spirit. They have to come along with you. So in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, your mind, which is one aspect of yourself, has to become your friend. And the way you make your mind your friend is you discipline your intelligence so that it can be a good parent. Because the mind is like an unruly child. It wants to do whatever it wants to do, especially when it's untrained. But when the intelligence becomes edified by hearing Bhagavad Gita every day, that it knows how to properly control and lead the mind so that it makes all the right choices. So hearing Bhagavad Gita means worshiping Krishna with your intelligence. And the intelligence, which is worshiping Krishna, becomes strong in purpose. The verses of Bhagavad Gita, for those who read them every day, and look at them carefully, not just reciting them for memorization, but looking at them as direct instructions coming from Krishna. And let them go in. They are actually Krishna speaking to us, non-different. And Krishna will continue to speak to us because we worship him with our intelligence, because we open ourselves to that instruction. He'll stay there in the intelligence. And at the right times, he'll say, turn left, don't turn right. Take that, don't take this. Accept that, don't accept that. And we can feel that impetus growing in our hearts as that intelligence comes as mercy into our mind and into our heart. And Krishna says himself in the Bhagavad Gita in a very sweet way that for those who are developing the sincerity of purpose, that let me become a servant, even though I'm right now I'm out of alignment, I'm not there yet, but still, please let me come to that stage of being your perfect servant. Krishna says, I'll give you the intelligence. I'll be there for you. I'll illumine your heart with knowledge. And that illumination is directly experienced by the devotee. And there's an exchange of love between the devotee and Krishna, because that intelligence is coming from Krishna and the devotee knows it. He can feel it directly. Therefore, Krishna, in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is so deep, this chapter, when Krishna is revealing his love for his devotees. He reveals his love for those who even try to be devotees. Anyone who has this goal in mind, even if the person is a complete screw-up. Apichet sudaracharo. Sudaracharo means you really screwed up. He said, even if the person is a complete screw-up, if he's my devotee and he's trying sincerely, not taking advantage of this verse, but he's sincerely trying, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadureva samantavya Samyak Vyavasito Hisa. He's a sadhu. He's can be considered a saintly person. And very quickly, he said, he'll come to the perfectional stage. So now we're going to chant Hare Krishna. Because we're all together, and we'll take advantage of the fact that we're all together with one purpose in mind. It's such a lovely gathering here. Just, you're all Vaishnavas. And you've come here just to see Krishna, and just to hear about Krishna. And what could be better? To be in one place. And we've found this place and painted it and put decorations around just for this moment, so we could all be together to chant Hare Krishna at one time. Shall we chant? Yes or yes? Only we're going to have a kirtan before we do japa. You don't have to hand out the beads quite yet. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshadharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tell them to play. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur Haribol, Haribol, Haribon Tai Gaur Haribol. Nitai Gaur Haribol, Haribol, Haribon Tai Gaur Haribol. Shri Harinam Prabhu Ki Go Premanande Nitai Gaura Haribol 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 Tai Gaura Haribol We just came back from Sacramento and Folsom just a few hours ago. We were up there for 24 hours or so. And there's a lovely community of devotees growing up there in Folsom, Sacramento area. And we went on, we went out to meet people in the community, door to door. We took it upon ourselves to meet them. they weren't expecting us necessarily. But we did go around and talk to people. And on the way home, Mahatattva Prabhu, whom I drove up with and back, was telling me that we had different teams going around door to door to show people the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 18 books in the set, 12 cantos. And one house, just some people are so nice, you know. Ramsundar Prabhu went to the door, and Mahatattva Prabhu was saying that the whole time the man was saying yes, yes, yes to everything. Yes, come in. Yes, show me. Yes, yes, I like it. Yes, and he said yes, I'll take it. And so, without consulting anybody else in his family, he went back and got a check. We were selling the Bhagavatams for $250, so he went back and brought his check for $250. And apparently Ramsundar had been showing the one, he had a sixth canto, I think, or a seventh canto. And so the man thought he was getting that one book for $250. So when he brought out the all the other books, he was shocked. Some people are just so nice. And he was so eager to get it. And he thought, yeah, I'll give $250 for that book. And they said, you know, you get all this too? And he said, what? I get all this. So there were many wonderful experiences going to the doors. So many people who had never heard of Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita and so forth, we show them the Bhagavad Gita. And they're very eager to hear. And we were just thinking how it's kind of a lonely existence. People live in a box. House is like a box. The rooms we live in are like a box. You close the door, and then in the morning everyone goes to work, and they sit in a little box that grows on wheels. Get out of that box, go into another box-like corporation, and then you sit in a cubicle, which is a little box. Everyone's feeling really boxed in. And Srila Prabhupada wrote before he came to America that people are sitting in their homes and they're looking down the road wondering, when are Nitai and Gaur going to come and save me? So if you ever wondered what people are doing at home, that's what they're doing. They're wondering, when are Nitai and Gaur going to come and save me? So it was a wonderful experience, and just a feeling, a sense how Krishna consciousness is expanding all over the greater Bay Area. So many people are taking to the process of Krishna consciousness and communities developing various areas. And they have plans to expand more and more. And some of our devotees came up there, and we all worked together, and we had some very nice sangha. So it's like going from one spiritual planet to the next. traveling in between these various communities, and it's very nice. And now we're going to continue our practice of the what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita is the best of all sacrifices. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, of yajnas I am japa. And so this japa involves speaking the names just loud enough so that you can hear them yourself. And you can practice this at home or go for a walk in the park and chant in the morning. And the devotees are passing out some japa beads. Some people say ja means birth and pa means sin. So by chanting japa, you eradicate birth and all sin. And Hanumat Prishak Swami says, ja means jaw, and pa means your hand. Japa. So you use your jaw and your paw for japa. But whatever way you think of it, it's an otherworldly experience. And we need these otherworldly experiences because the world gets in us. And I become absorbed in the world, and it's a difficult place, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very bewildering place. Kuakam. Kuakam. He says the whole creation is bewildering. So to fortify oneself from the world getting in one, one should chant japa. And we recommend that you practice this every day. Start in the morning time if you can, and pick a number. Make a vow for yourself that you'll do a certain number of rounds every day that you won't go below. And a round means that you go through this whole string of beads and on each bead chant one mantra. How's everybody doing with this practice at home? Anything more to script? Anyone want to share with their home practice?
A month or so ago, I had mentioned during one of these japa sessions that I had recorded myself and I was horrified. And then I started observing that we do the japas very, very slowly over here, extremely slowly and much, much slower than what I was doing. And then I caught on to that and started doing my own rounds, not as slow as this, but slower. And for the last 2 or 3 days, it's taking me more than 2 hours to complete my 16 rounds, and I'd sit down and do it nicely. And I also noticed that if you do your rounds properly, then your Gayatri also improves, because you kind of get into that mood of not rushing through things. So, like, relish, but don't finish, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
What was the last thing you said?
I said you always tell that, you know, you should relish and not be in a rush to finish.
Relish, but don't be in a rush to finish. Nice. Any other experiences with chanting japa? Yes, Sudeep? Here comes the mic. It's coming back. It's coming. There's two more microphones somewhere.
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Something that I've recently, I'm experimenting with this, and that is, obviously, it is quite obvious that the mind keeps on diverting, but the way I've started is kind of giving the mind a timeout, which I keep mentioning it to my daughter. And the timeout is whenever it digresses or diverts, I say, okay, it's a timeout. You have to focus for 3 japas, 3 mantras. And obviously, the more and more the mind tries to divert or tries to digress, it gets a timeout of 3 mantra. And just focusing on the 3 mantra, it is helping. I don't know what's the magic thing about 3, but it's not neither too less or not too much.
Thank you. Very helpful and practical. One more? Any more? Struggling, doing well, had a breakthrough. Ramananda, are you going to offer something? Or just the microphone? Okay, so the japa, we hold the beads between the thumb and the middle finger. There's a head bead, which is the one that has a little tuft on the top, We call the Krishna bead. We don't chant on that bead, but we chant starting from that bead all the way until we get to the other side, and then we turn around and come back, and we chant one mantra on one bead. And then we progress forward by pulling them forward, and then we get all the way to this side, and we turn around and go back the other way. And we'll chant in unison, or do you want to try it just on your own today? Unison? Okay, there's power in numbers. Okay, so we'll go ahead, we'll chant together, and I'll say a very special mantra which everyone should learn and say before you begin chanting your japa. I'll say it and then please repeat. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara. Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Natcheri ar marman, natcheri ar marman, natcheri ar marman, hey, natcheri ar marman, natcheri ar marman, natcheri ar marman, natcheri ar marman.